This is Relevant in Rome, a weekly podcast from the Vatican with Relevant Radio Rome correspondent Ashley Nerona. Now here's the latest on Pope Francis and all that's happened in Rome this week.
Let's begin with the wonders of the Holy Father. What was the main focus of Pope Francis this morning at his Wednesday general audience?
Sure. Well, John, you probably recall that Pope Francis has been talking about the theme of discernment in his last public audiences. And today the key word was desire. So desire and discernment, but not necessarily ours, or not at least not ours alone. He spoke about God's desire for us and how each person has the power to accept God's desire for us and then to make that desire one's own deep desire too. So he called desire an indispensable ingredient of discernment. And he said that God's desire for his people is something that he implants. He plants it deep down within the human heart and soul. And it's a sign of God's presence there. And he described desire as a yearning. He said it's this like yearning for fulfillment that never seems to find fulfillment. And it requires lots of searching for something that's lacking, but yet, he said, something that is known. And he pointed out that the Italian word desiderio comes from the Latin term de decidus, and that means the lack of a star. So in other words, the lack of a reference point, a light that is orienting the path of light. So it's that yearning or desire of God, he said, is what keeps people looking for that star, looking for the right track to be on. And one should remember that desire, authentic desire from God, it's not fleeting. It doesn't get destroyed by setbacks. In fact, he said it's quite the opposite. Obstacles and failures make that desire even more alive. But that one should be aware that if they sincerely choose to pursue God's desire, it means saying no to other good things and avoiding diversions and distractions. That's how one pursues or authentically pursues desire. And he said the best way then to know God's desire for a person, he said, well, engage in dialogue with the Lord. So talk to God, because that's how people learn to understand what God wants for them. He pointed out when Jesus in John 5 spoke to the paralytic, he said, do you want to be well? And that dialogue that ensued helped the paralytic get closer to his personal real desire and thus to God's desire for him. So he said, dialoguing with God is imperative. And he said to ask him, and I'll read the quote here. He said, help me know your deepest desire, the one that God, that you have placed inside my heart, and give me the strength to make it materialize. So that's the prayer that Pope Francis recommended today to all the faithful, to get to know that deep desire that God has planted down in everyone's heart, John.
It's very deep stuff by the Holy Father, and it's really something that we really should take a moment and really contemplate, because, you know, we pray not so much for God's sake, but for, you know, for not so much for mm-hmm. our sake, but to be closer to God, because he already knows what's in our heart. He knows what our desire is. He knows what we're feeling. And what we desire the most. So I think it's a fantastic message by the Holy Father this morning.
And he said that knowing that desire and really coming to understand it and to bother to kind of mine it out, it creates a compass to understand where one is going, where they want to go, where God wants them to go. So there's a lot of complexities attached. So the point of the Angelus today was to continue to ask God to dialogue with him, to find out that desire to, so you can get closer to knowing the direction of life that God has set out just for you.
And Ashley, in light of the attacks by Russia on Ukraine in recent days mm-hmm. after the explosion of that bridge, I know that peace continues to be on the mind of the Holy Father. He continues mm-hmm. To invoke a desire for peace in Ukraine.
Yes. In fact, today, at the end of his public audience, he said that his heart is with the Ukrainian people. In fact, he said he carries their pain with him and prayed that through the intercession of Mary, that the Mother of God, that he presented the people to her maternal care, and reminding all that God hears the cry of those who invoke him. And so he prayed today that anyone who holds the fate of the war in their hands, that the Spirit would transform their hearts, and specifically that the hurricane of violence, as he called it, that the hurricane of violence will cease and will instead be replaced with peace, John.
And of course, we continue to pray for peace in Ukraine, and really hope that the consecration that the Holy Father did earlier this year will ultimately pay dividends.
Mm-hmm, indeed. We know that we have lots of prayer power behind this. So let's keep it up.
For sure. On another note, yesterday was a big day in our church. It was not only the feast of Pope John the 23rd, the good Pope John, but also the commemoration of the anniversary of Vatican II, 60 years ago yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yes, in fact, the 60th anniversary, and as you mentioned, also the feast of Pope St. John the 23rd. So yesterday was a very big day in St. Peter's Basilica, because not only was the anniversary being celebrated, but pilgrims were coming from far and wide to pray in at the tomb of Pope St. John the 23rd. Of course, his remains are kept in a glass urn, and the faithful are able to walk right up and see his undecayed remains there. Now, in a homily that Pope Francis gave in celebration of the 60th anniversary, he spoke a lot about joy, about the importance of having a church that's filled with joy. And he said, in fact, if the church does not have joy, then she denies her very self. And he asked people, all the faithful, to ask themselves the question, are they living without joy? Specifically, he said, without grumbling and without criticizing. He said, because a church who's in love with Jesus doesn't have time for disputes and gossip and quarrels. So he prayed for all the faithful to be free from critical and intolerant and harsh and angry words and behavior. He said, instead, that it be replaced by love, and that all can do, it can operate as St. Paul the Apostle taught, to do everything without murmuring. Now, of course, it was also 60 years ago on this very day, today, which was the day two of the Second Vatican Council, that Pope St. John the 23rd spoke to a group of diplomats who were present and spoke to them specifically about the fate of nations, about their responsibility for nations, and to listen to what he called the anguished cry for peace that's rising from every part of the world. So again, not much is new under the sun, right? We're in a similar state today. In fact, at this time, this was the background, or what was going on in the background, was the unfolding Cuban Missile Crisis. So Pope St. John the 23rd had gone on to talk about the church's vigor, to emphasize her spiritual mission and the methods that could be adapted so that the gospel teaching could be worthily lived and worthily shared. So that was in his address exactly 40 years ago today, John, or 60 years ago today, sorry.
It really is amazing. Mm-hmm. So providential, as you said, you know, history repeats itself. Nothing new under the mm-hmm. sun, as the book of Ecclesiastes reminds us. Mm-hmm. We're also coming up on the anniversary of the synagogue attack in Rome. What's the latest with that?
Yes. So imagine that this was in 1962, 40 years ago, sure enough, all of a sudden, as worshipers at the Jewish synagogue in Rome were headed out of the back door, five well-dressed men came up and threw three hand grenades at the attendees at the synagogue. And of course, these are families, these are children, etc. They also then sprayed the crowd with submachine gun fire. And that day, a little two-year-old toddler named Stefano Take, he was killed in the attack. He was hit with shrapnel. And then 37 civilians were also injured, including little Stefano's brother. He was four. His name is Gadiel, and he was shot in the head and in the chest. And in fact, 40 years later, young Gadiel, now at the age of 44, has just released a book for this 40th anniversary. And he was describing in the book a lot about his personal experience, how he has gone through grief in different stages and what that has looked like for him and his family. And also a bit more about the unsolved mystery of exactly who those attackers were and how that could have happened in 1982, only 40 years ago. So sure enough, to commemorate this anniversary, our president, the president of Italy, Sergio Mattarella, went to this synagogue, and indeed all stood in front of a plaque that hangs there that commemorates what happened on that terrible October day. So we certainly remember the Jewish community on this very bitter anniversary, John.
Ashley, on a happier note, you and your husband, John, are involved in a pilgrimage.
Oh, yes. Well, John and I are going to go on Saturday to a place we have never been before. It's called Torre del Sannio. And I think I can probably guess it's a new name to you and Sarah and Glenn and probably our listeners, because the population is just a little bit over 700 people. This is in the region of Molise. Now, the reason that we're so looking forward to going there is because this is the very area that my great-grandparents, my dad's mom's grandparents, came from, and before they settled in the U.S. And so we're very much looking forward to it, because we're looking forward to, of course, experiencing this little town and imagining what their lives were like. But this is actually also the feast of their patron saint. His name is Saint Clement, and he came from that area. And on Saturday, there will be a big mass and a procession of his relics throughout the town. And also, I will have the chance to go and visit and pray in front of a special commemorative plaque that is remembering the victims of a mine disaster that happened actually in the U.S. It was December 6th of 1907 that in Monongah, West Virginia, the worst mining disaster in U.S. history occurred. And there were 12 victims from this tiny little town who were actually in that mine and died. My great-grandfather worked in that mine, John. And that morning, the 6th of December, the Feast of St. Nicholas, the name of the very church where he attended when he lived back in Italy, he woke up from a bad dream and decided that it was telling him that he should not go to work that day. So he knocked on the door of three of his friends. They played cards that day. And suddenly, as they did, the ground under their feet began to tremble and they heard a horrific noise and realized that the mine had exploded. So all of their friends and colleagues died that day. There were about 500 people in the mine officially, and then there were hundreds more that were unofficial because they were just contracted as day laborers. So with that, I think it'll be a very poignant experience to go to this little town and celebrate the feast of the patron, Saint Clement, John.
I've never been to Molise or that little tiny town, but is this the same Saint Clement that succeeded St. Peter as the third successor of the first pope?
This is a different Clemente, actually, but he was also a martyr, and so he's the hometown favorite over there. And John, I have to tell you, to celebrate, they're going to serve scatone, which is a pasta that after they cook the pasta, they pour it in a bowl, and then and they pour in red wine. So imagine eating your pasta in a bowl of red wine with a little chili, a little sugar sometimes they add. And so it sounds very interesting. I look forward to telling you all about it.
Relevant in Rome is your weekly connection to the Vatican. Listen to live reports from Rome with Ashley Narona every Wednesday morning at 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central on Morning Air. And listen right here next week to Relevant in Rome for the latest on Pope Francis and news from the Vatican.